And here it is at 28 minutes past 8 o'clock. We've had a surprise walk-in guest, and I'm so delighted to welcome Trevor Thompson to the studio. Because Trevor, there is no one that knows bees better than Trevor Thompson. He's our local apiarist hero. If you've ever had a bee problem, people call them a problem, it might be a swarm of bees is relocated into your roof or something like that, and you want them humanely removed, not poisoned and destroyed. Well, Trevor Thompson is the man that many people refer to because you do that job, and you do it very well. But also, you have a very thriving apiary. And you supply excellent honey to the North Coast and beyond. And I wanted to ask you, Trip, I mean, there have been a couple of incidents of late where swarms of bees have, for whatever reason, attacked people. There's been two news items of late where people have been attacked by bees, and emergency responders have gone to help and rescue them. What would cause bees at this time of year to swarm and to attack?
Good morning, Dave. Yes, thank you for asking me. And all the compliments about my knowledge of bees, which I must tell you is you learn every day. Bees have a bad reputation, and probably quite rightly so, but they often misunderstood. And I think one of the reasons I'm here is to try and stop bee attacks. People must be aware of what sets bees off. Firstly, a new swarm, a young swarm, it starts off pretty small. But if there's a good food source, then they will increase in numbers rapidly. And that's exponentially what happens, is the aggression grows with their size and their success.
But what triggers, because I've seen you handle swarms of bees that are on the move or have been relocated from one area to the other, and they don't attack you.
No, they don't. They'd have to be provoked, and this is what I'm going to talk about. Mm. There are certain things that provoke bees. One is simply that if you go too close to them on a hot day when they are very active, and if they have something to protect, and they see their progeny, all their brood that the queen has laid, and it's in various stages of development, and of course their honey. They don't like the honey being taken away, and they perceive anybody that's too close to them as a threat.
Do they detect you by scent or by sight?
They look at a temperature. They see you as a mammal because you're giving off infrared heat. And they will, first of all, sort of give you a warning buzz. In most cases, they will come around you, and then that is a signal to get out of there, and you must obey that signal.
So they don't just instantly attack you?
Well, they do if something else prior to that has upset them.
Okay.
Then they look for a scapegoat.
Okay.
And they will chase you for miles. For instance, if they're in a tree, high up in a tree, in a big, big swarm, and the trees died some time ago, and the branch breaks and falls on the ground, and boom, there's bees everywhere, they look for someone to blame. And they will sting any mammal.
So it could just be circumstance like that triggers them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A road under construction, a machine would come along and be grading a road, and it would disturb a pipe under the road or something, and they will come out and completely and absolutely in a frenzy of stinging.
What, in the unhappy event of being attacked by a swarm of bees, what can one do to minimize the damage?
Well, the first thing is that there is no magic formula to make them quieten down again. There is, but it's not likely to be available to anyone.
You're not going to start making smoke. You don't have the time.
Well, smoke is actually not going to help too much.
Oh, really?
No. The best thing is a fine spray of water. If you've got a very strong pressure system and you've got access to a sprinkler will, if it's really sort of vaporized the water, it simulates a cold weather and rain. And it calms the bees down immediately.
So like a mist almost.
Yeah, that would be the ideal scenario.
Not a jet of water, that's not going
to
do it.
No, a jet of water won't help them too much at all. You need to actually, for them to perceive that things are cooler. And on the North Coast, when the northeasterly is blowing hard, that's not going to be easy to simulate. You know, any spray you put up is going to get whipped away. So one it's not likely to work.
That you should jump into a body of water or something like that.
That will help to prevent stinging, but you would need to best get behind doors and close yourself and collect all your pets and everything else before you do that.
Get into a car if you
and then have a dealing with the actual sting itself. You know, the sting is an internal thorn or barb, which is deployed only when the bee is angry. People draw pictures of bees flying around with a sting sticking out the back. Not so. It's internal. And for them to deploy that sting, they generally need to grip with it with their legs to be able to bend and push that sting out with their abdomen. Mm. In the absence of something to hold, they find it difficult to get that sting out. And when they do, because it's barbed, as soon as they've stung you, they will pull away, and that venom sac will rupture the back of the abdomen. So that bee is destined to die. It's not going to survive.
Right.
But it's given its life for the greater good, as it were.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that little venom sac has a nerve in it which keeps on pumping venom into you, even though the bee is long gone. And a common mistake people make as well is that they try and grip that sting with thumb and forefinger.
Yes.
To try and pull it out, and all they're doing is actually activating a syringe, as it were.
Wow.
You squash that. So the ideal thing to do is to scrape that sting out. If you don't have a knife, a blunt knife, or any kind of flat instrument, a comb or anything like that, comb works very well. If you don't have anything like that, then use the back of your thumbnail, scrape it out with. And the quicker you do that, you'll be amazed how much less pain you will have from that bee sting. If you can do it within seconds or even half a second, you will actually get hardly any pain at all or swelling. But of course, if you're attacked by a swarm of bees, you're going to get multiple stings, 30, 50, 2,000 stings some people have had. And that is impossible to do that. So then you're in deep trouble. Someone's going to have to get those stings out of you really quickly. And then, of course, you're going to go into a shock situation and you need hospitalization. So going back to the reasons for stinging, bees are protective of their hive or their abode, whatever they may be in, and there are some things which happen in a domestic situation, like in a town or in a gated community or something like that, and that is you've got guys cutting with mowers, mowing lawns and cutting with brush cutters.
Yeah.
The smell of vegetation is the most common reason for bees to go on the rampage.
The smell of vegetation being disturbed.
And that's exactly what we've been, you know, seeing.
People need to understand that if there's a bee thing, you cannot mow a lawn near a beehive. I have cattle who graze right next to my apiary at home. And if the grass is long next to the apiary, just them grazing that grass, you'll suddenly see the cow take off because a couple of bees are given it a reminder that they're too close to.
Okay.
Cutting vegetation, even if it's trimming a hedge or even picking flowers, and also disturbing of soil. If you're weeding and you're pulling out weeds, the smell of that vegetation is also coupled with the smell of soil being turned. They see that as a threat also. And that's what set them off.
Wow.
Chemicals is another thing. People painting a roof scraping a roof, of course, is the vibration which would alert them. But smell of chemical paint, especially sort of oil-based paints, that will also send them crazy. They don't like any kind of chemical smell. Again, my cattle suffer sometimes because we use a pour-on dip, which is a systemic dip so that it's absorbed into the skin. And we do that. We actually do it on a wet or a cold day so that the bees are not upset too much. But even then, they don't like that smell of chemical, and they will sometimes sting you while you're applying the stuff onto the cattle.
So the message, I would imagine, is very clear. If you know that there are bees active in the property in which you're working or living, and you're not going to do any kind of maintenance, caveat, be aware that could trigger an incident. I would imagine by nature of the fact that bees need specialist treatment, you must get hold of someone that understands bees, preferably someone like Trevor. Trevor, how do people get hold of you?
Well, I'm available, I think, on my cell phone, of course, which is 082-770-8376. I think you'd find me on the internet without too much problem.
Trevor Thompson Bees.
Yes, or B-Biz is what I call my little bee business now these days.
And it is a business. I believe you're in huge demand. Someone was telling me, someone very, very interesting, Nikki Brighton, who does foraging for edible foods in the Midlands, was saying that honey is a marvelous, marvelous food or even medicine, but it needs to be the honey from the area in which you are living.
That's right.
It's no good bringing it in from somewhere else. So to get hyper-local honey in this area, well, that's the stuff, and that's what you want. Well,
local honey is better for local allergens.
Yes, that's exactly that.
Wow.
It's because the bees are feeding on those same plants that are causing the allergies, so they are getting the antidote, as it were. Talking about bee forage, the North Coast has undergone quite a big transformation in the last 10 years. Sugarcane has been receding from the coastal strip, being replaced with either residential areas or else, in terms of agriculture, it's becoming macadamias. Mm-hmm. And it's becoming huge. And you've only got to take a trip inland a bit, just go as far as about 5 or 6 kilometers inland, and you will be absolutely astounded as to how many macadamia trees are being planted and are coming online, as it were.
Oh. And is this good for bees?
It's good and bad for bees, because you need an awful lot of bees to pollinate all those macadamias. Oh. Now, the problem is that macadamias, even though the bees will be very attracted to them, they do not get much sustenance out of macadamias. They're primarily there to do the pollination, so they're looking for the pollen, and that's what the farmer wants. He wants the bees to activate the pollen to get to stimulate a better crop. Food-wise, the nectar situation as max is almost nil, and at the same time, the farmer needs that heavy density of bees to take full advantage of small windows that are available in morning and evening for the pollination to take place.
So for the beekeeper like yourself who provides that service, I would imagine it's imperative to find other sources of food for the bees.
Right. So one of the things which I'm very keen on is that to promote alternative bee forage to supplement the farm. The farmers need to take this in hand and do it themselves, and a number of them have.
Do they then grow alternative plants?
Yes, you grow things. There are a number of plants, but the one that is really appeals to me on the coast because of its resilience and at ease of which you can propagate it, is a blue basil, or they call it bee basil. It slips very easily. You can buy it in little cuttings or little plants from Zuland nurseries and other nurseries. And a number of people, one of my students, bought 30,000 plants of it.
Wow.
And has planted masses of it on every fence line and every roadside.
So this should be encouraged across the entire community.
It should be planted on the side of the national road, David.
Yes.
That's what should happen.
Let's do it. Guerrilla style.
Yeah.
Civic action. Let's go and plant blue basil.
Instead of planting other... It's very decorative, and it's hardy, and you can mow it with a gyro mower, you know, with a big mechanical mower, and it'll just grow again.
So that's magnificent. Yeah. We need the bees desperately, and in a sense, local honey, good for local people, local populations. Sort of a final note, I just wanted to mention to you, of late I revisited on YouTube the Carte Blanche expose on commercial honey, and I just wanted to say massive caveat, because I've seen some of these local honey labels in our supermarkets and stores that are definitely not pure honey, and in fact, I would imagine, well, you know much more than anyone else, Trevor, what is your take on those big producers that are mixing sugar with honey?
I cannot obviously comment on that, because it's all hearsay as far as I'm concerned. I know that there are beekeepers and beekeepers, I think the problem here is that South Africa doesn't produce anywhere near enough honey for local consumption. Yeah. So we are importers of honey, and that is getting worse, not better. So big suppliers, big bottlers, are under pressure because they would obviously buy as much of the local honey as they can. And then to meet the demand, they are forced to import honey. And this is where the problem mainly lies, mm-hmm. is that importing honey, you don't really know what it is you're getting yourself in for. There are, of course, scientific ways of testing it, etc., and I'm pretty sure that the responsible importers would be doing this, but there's a lot that slips through the fingers.
According to the report on Carte Blanche, they are not. Yeah. And even if they were, the standards are so easily manipulated that you could adulterate good honey with literally syrup, you know, from sugar, and it would still pass the test. That's the same thing.
I had a customer once who taught me something years ago, which I've never forgotten. And he was a Muslim fellow, and it was during Eid, so he was fasting, and he couldn't eat the honey, but he was desperate to buy my honey, and quite a large quantity of it. So he called for a glass of water and a teaspoon. And he took a teaspoon of honey, and he dropped it into the glass, and we watched it. It goes straight to the bottom of the glass in one big blob and sits on the bottom. And I said, "And now?" He said, "Well, if it had already been mixed with some other commodity like syrup or water even, if it had been watered down, as it goes into the glass, you would see tendrils coming off off that honey as it went down and dissolving into the rest of the water." So that's quite an interesting little test.
So you can, and I think a very valuable one, but just be alert, folks, that especially at a price point that makes it look attractive, often what you're buying is not the real deal. If you want the real deal to be absolutely safe, look for locally produced honey, raw, unfiltered, or whatever way you like it, but locally produced is definitely the way to go. Thompson, what is it called? The Bee-Biz?
Bee-Biz, yeah.
Bee-Biz honey. Bee-Biz. Trevor Thompson.
No, it's just Coastal Bush honey, but the business is Bee-Biz is what I call it, because we use that logo, as it were, for doing bee rescues and pollination and so on and so forth.
And you also conduct very good beekeeping courses locally.
Yes, indeed. We have one coming up on the 26th and 27th of March.
Is it full yet? Or can
we still have lots of space there. It's a two-day course, a Friday afternoon and a Saturday morning, and it covers all the theory, bee lifestyles, the biology of bees, and all the various diseases, all the equipment that's necessary. And on the Saturday morning, we have a slap-up breakfast before we kit up and go and actually open the bee boxes.
So would this course be a sort of short course in beekeeping that would get
you
going? Oh,
yeah, very much so.
So if you're keen on becoming involved with the art of apiary, and it's a very good thing to do, have a chat with Trevor and book your course coming up very soon this month. By the end of the month, you'll be a qualified beekeeper. How about that? Trevor, very, very cool to be chatting to you again, and I look forward to having more of these conversations because it's important, I think. Mm. Bees are without bees, we've got nothing. We're finished. This is a message, I think, from every ecologist on the planet. The bees are under threat. If you look after them, we're kind of looking after ourselves, and that's an important message. So, Trevor Thompson, Bee-Biz, if you want to find out more about bees, get hold of him and book your place on his course. And Trevor, thanks for joining us on The Morning Show.
Pleasure, Dave. And take care out there. Look after the bees and look after yourself.
And here it's Frank Ocean, thinking about you.